All right. Listen, verse 8. Oh, here is where the liberal, he has a picnic here. You just, well, spread the nice tablecloth down on the grass, friends. The liberal's going to have a picnic here. Listen to this. He hath shown thee, O man, what's good. And what doth the Lord require of thee? Number one, but to do justly, and to love mercy, and to walk humbly with thy God. Three things here. You're to be righteous, justly in your dealings with your fellow man, honest and true. These are the things that he mentions here. Then the second thing is to love mercy. Love. Love not only the mercy of God, but merciful in your own dealings with others. And then to walk humbly with thy God. Now, how are you going to do this, brother? Can you do this in your own flesh? Do you think that you can do it without God's help? Do you think that you can do it without God's salvation? If you do, I'm going to say something very strong now, but I'm far enough away from you, you can't hit me. You're a hypocrite. Don't tell me that you live by this moral code today without the power of God, for the very simple reason, these are the fruits of the Holy Spirit. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and in it is righteousness, in it is mercy. All of these things can come and can only come in that way. Now, do you want to go to the New Testament and see what's said there concerning this? This is summing up the law, actually, the Mosaic law. Now, if you could do these in yourself, but will you listen to a man who lived in under it? And when he lived in under it, he told the truth. Will you listen to him here? In the 15th chapter of Acts, Simon Peter, when they were deciding whether the Gentiles would have to keep the law in order to be saved, that would be part of the ritual, Simon Peter stood up and said, Acts 15:11, but we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved even as they. Now, why did he say that? Because he just said in verse 10, now therefore, why tempt ye God to put a yoke upon the neck of the disciples, which neither our fathers nor we were able to bear? Simon Peter said, I lived under the law, and I don't think he ever got far away from it, even after he was saved, yet he said, we did not measure up to it. And God made it very clear that they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh. They that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. But to be carnally minded is death. To be spiritually minded is life and peace. Because the carnal mind is enmity against God. It's not subject to the law of God. Neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But you're not in the flesh. Since you are in the Spirit, since the Spirit of God dwells in you. My friend, how does the Spirit of God dwell in you? You must be born again. The Lord Jesus said you must be born again. And you must be born again by receiving Christ. To as many as received him, to them gave he the right, the power, the exousion authority to become the sons of God, even to those that don't do any more than believe in his name. Mr. Liberal, I insist that you interpret this accurately. And when you do, you're not saved by your good works because you don't have any. Now, if you want to know what God takes delight in and that which he requires of man, here it is. And the liberal, well, he just jumps up and down for joy at this, but he misses the point. And what doth the Lord require of thee but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God? Now, these are the three things that God requires. Now, if you look at these three things, they are addressed first of all, to man, O man, what is good? This means not only the man in Israel, but the man in the United States. Not only the person of the 7th century B.C., but the man of the 20th century A.D. This is for man. And this now is what God requires. These are the three things you're to do justly. That is, you must have a righteousness to present to God. You must be a righteous person. Then the second is, and love mercy. We have love here, and to love actually the mercy of God. The third is humility, and to walk humbly with thy God. Now, as we indicated last time, all three of these are the work of the Holy Spirit in the life of the believer. And none of us have any one of these things in our lives today. Now, Paul lists here the condition of man. He sets before us in the third chapter of Romans, beginning at verse 9, and going down through verse 18, he brings man before the judgment bar of God and shows he's guilty. Then he takes him into the clinic of God and shows that he's sick, sick nigh unto death. In fact, he's dead in trespasses and in sins. Now, no man, therefore, whoever is, can present these things to God. This is what God requires. Now, can you meet it? Paul says, there's none righteous, no, not one. Somebody says, well, that's in the New Testament. No, it's not, friend. All that Paul does in that section of Romans is quote the Old Testament. We find that back in the 14th Psalm, verse 1. The fool hath said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. They've done abominable works. There is none that doeth good. None righteous. None that does good. Now, that's what God says about you. But God says he requires righteousness. How are you going to present it, my friend? Now he goes on to say in verse 11 of chapter 3 of Romans, there is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. In other words, he says there's none that acts on even the knowledge that he has. And how many of you today, if you're not a Christian, do you really live up to your ideal? Have you attained the goal that you set? Have you come to the plateau of life where you're satisfied with your living? May I say to you that none of us even acts on the knowledge that we have, and there's none that seeketh after God. Now somebody says, where's that found? Back in Psalm 14, verse 2. Let me read it. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there are any that did understand and seek God. There wasn't any. Verse 3, they're all gone aside. They are altogether become filthy. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. That's Psalm 14:3. Now, I don't have time to do it, but from the Old Testament, I could multiply, friends, these statements again and again and again. Here's what God required. But the Old Testament also makes it very obvious that you can't present this to God. You do not have this. Therefore, there must be a change in the life because there's none righteous. God requires righteousness. And we are told that Jesus was delivered for our offenses, raised for our justification. That word's righteousness. He's raised for our righteousness, that we might have righteousness. And then by the Spirit of God, we might produce righteousness in our lives. And then love of mercy. And none of us have that in our human heart. We're dead in trespasses and sins. Paul says that we've all gone out of the way. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Now, this is the picture of man. This is the way that man is today. The point that is presented to us by Isaiah in Isaiah 53 is in verse 6, all we like sheep have gone astray. We've turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. And evidently, us all have iniquity, or he wouldn't have made a statement like that. So let's not be hypocritical when we come to this verse and see that we to walk humbly with our God, while we're told here that none seeketh after God. We want to come our way. Now, may I say this to you, and I say it in all kindness, and I trust that it might startle some of you and waken you out of your condition. If you believe that your church membership or your character or your good works today are going to get you to God, then may I say to you, you bypass God's way. The Lord Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. Now, if you can get to God by this route here, by presenting a righteousness, by loving mercy, and by walking humbly with God, if you can do that, and you do that on your own, then may I say to you that when you get to heaven, you can tell God to move over, that you want to share his throne with him, that you got there by yourself. You didn't need him. You're your own God. May I say to you, God says that he doesn't even share his glory with another. And I don't think he'll share his throne with you. My suggestion is, why don't you come God's way and not man's way? This is what God requires. But who are you kidding that you think you can present this in your natural state? My, how verses like this held up to the human family, and then they're commended for being polite folk and nice, especially on Sunday. And they seem so genteel and so lovely, and yet have never come God's way. May I say to you, how can you live in a hypocrisy like that and continue on and on in that? Why not be honest with God? Just come right out with him. Go to him. Tell him that you're a sinner. He already knows it, but be nice if you told him it. It's better than climbing on a psychiatrist's couch and talking to him. Talk to God. Tell him the thing that's wrong with you. Tell him about your hang-ups. Tell him about the sin in your life. And God will save you. God will redeem you. Now, I've spent a long time here because this is a very important place in the Word of God.